We have four verses this morning, four short verses. The first one is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are all God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning again. Welcome to the Living Water Church. We are finishing up today a sermon series we began a few weeks ago that's called Fact or Friction. And this, I really believe, has been quite a powerful series. We just discussed how easy it is for our perspectives to shift from what is true to what is false when friction arises in our life. You know, sometimes that friction can show up in our families. Sometimes it's in our marriage. Sometimes it's in our finances. And when these things kind of come about in our lives, they just have a tendency to pull us away. And those three themes were what we were kind of looking at the last 3 weeks. If you happen to miss any of those sermons, they are available on Facebook Live, our church page, or on our website, just the audio of the sermon. But there is one more area of friction that I want us to talk about today that I believe has the potential of impacting every other area that we talked about and even other areas in our life. And this area is really key to living a healthy life that's going to honor both God and bless others. So today I want us to talk about how we can experience friction in our own selves. And I believe that the friction that is the most dangerous of all the different kinds of frictions we can feel is not frictions that we have with other people, but really the most dangerous is the friction that we can have with ourselves. And so sometimes we just need to be able to take some time, take a step back, and say to ourselves, you know, self, you know, we need to have a talk. We must become a lot more self-aware. And so as you're thinking about that, I want you to just kind of think about this in that self-awareness aspect. Have you ever spent a day out on one of the lakes that surrounds us that's big enough that it allows motorboats that pull tubes or skis? You know, our lake back here, Seymour Lake, is not big enough. It just allows the trolling motors, the electric motors. But on one of the bigger lakes that we have, you just kind of watch. Because as you watch people who drive those motorboats, I think there's really two kinds of people who drive those boats. You've got the first kind who just is, you know, in the moment. You know, they're driving the boat. They're just knowing what's happening in the surroundings. They kind of have their head on a swivel looking at what's happening back in the kids that are on the tube and whether they're being launched in the stratosphere or whether they're holding on for dear life, and they know what's happening with other boats. They're just very aware of their surroundings, right? That's one type of person. And then you've got the other type. You know, this is the type that just throttle all the way out and just looking straight ahead. They just kind of are clueless that the fact that their kid is kind of dangling by the rope and barely, you know, being thrown all over the place. They just are going as fast as they can. They don't care that their wake is kind of throwing all the fisher people off their boats. They just are going as fast as they can, and they are totally unaware of what's happening around them. They're just having fun driving their boat. And you probably know some people like this. Maybe it's not a boat driver, but just think, you know, the people who just, they just don't understand why their marriage is a wreck or why their kids don't want to be around them. They just don't understand why their friends are just seemingly always busy. They don't understand how their angry words affect others, or how their poor work ethic affects their coworkers. They're oblivious to the reality that the way they live does not align with their professed beliefs and convictions. And I imagine we all know someone like that. Have you got a person in your mind maybe who kind of exemplifies that kind of person? But the truth is, if we're really honest, at least to some degree, that's probably all of us in some way or another, where we're just not totally aware of what is going inside of us and how that's affecting our lives. And sometimes we just need to take the time to look in the mirror and say, self, you know what? We need to talk. And so the Bible has a lot to say about our willingness to become self-aware and deal with our internal friction. And as a way of just growing in our love for God and a way of growing in our love for other people. In fact, Apostle Paul addresses this in the book of Romans. We find it in Romans chapter 12, the first three verses, where it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." I plead. It's not like I suggest. It might be a good idea. It's a thought that I kind of thought one of these days, and maybe I'm suggesting it to you. He is pleading. This is incredibly important to Paul. He's saying this is essential in your life. Give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind that God, that he will find acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship him. This is what God expects. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, which is a pretty big challenge because we're surrounded by it, right? It's everywhere. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In verse 3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. And here's the warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. That's a challenge. Look at yourself, not through rose-colored glasses, but look at yourself the way that God sees you. And the truth of the challenges that you have. Okay, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith that God has given you. So Paul says it all has to do with God's great mercy that he has given towards us. Because God has been so merciful to us, that this should just cause us to offer our bodies, everything that we are, all that we think, all that we do, our dreams, all how we use what we have, that we offer that all to God as living sacrifices. And often our friction comes from this struggle that we have between living for God and wanting to do things our own way. And Paul mentions being a living sacrifice, and that is much harder than just a regular sacrifice. You see, this image that this passage has conjures up the sacrificial system back in the Old Testament, where an animal would be killed as an offering to God for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, this was before Jesus came and offered his life for us on the cross and became that final sacrifice for us. And so being a living sacrifice is much harder because then we have to battle. We have to fight that friction of wanting to crawl back off of that altar. Living as a sacrifice. It's a daily decision. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment decision, and it's not an easy one. Okay? We're tempted to conform to the world, to the way the world thinks, to what the world thinks is important, and the way to live as the world thinks. And this word conform, in the original Greek language, literally holds this idea of being pressed, of being squeezed into a mold. So as I was thinking about squeezing things into a mold, you know, one of my favorite toys as a kid was my Play-Doh Fun Factory. I mean, you could take that Play-Doh and you could just press it through all kinds of different holes and get all different shapes, and you could put it through it and it would end up getting spaghetti or other long-shaped tubes. I'm curious, any of you have one of those Play-Doh fun factories? Did you have them at home? There's a few of you. How many people actually made your own Play-Doh? Use the recipe on, you can find on the internet, made your own Play-Doh. That can be fun too. Some of you, not all of you, are admitting it, so I'm wondering, you know, you might have had a really bad childhood. So I'm so sorry that you didn't have this toy growing up. But it's a lot of fun, just let me say. But this process of being pressed into a mold is just where the tries to get us to think the way the world thinks. What the world thinks is important, the way the world thinks is the best way for a person to live. That is what we need to learn to protect ourselves from. And the friction within ourselves can convince us that we need to look like or be like someone else in order for us to be accepted. We are tempted to believe that in order for us to fit in, to just kind of meld around with those who are our friends, we just need to kind of conform, do things the way they think is most important. We let ourselves be pressed into a mold. So I wanted to just kind of think about some of the world's patterns out there and just kind of do a self-assessment. Is this a pattern that I found myself tempted to be squeezed into? Because the world says, you know, do what feels good. Yet Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't obey my teachings? They're completely opposite. Following your feelings or following Jesus' words. The world says it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you deeply believe it. Your truth is true for you. But Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Complete opposite. The world says get as much as you can get while you can still get it. It really doesn't matter how that you do it. Yet Jesus says give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. For that measure that you use to give is what will be measured back to you. The world says if you got it, flaunt it. And if you don't have it, flaunt it anyways. Right? That's what it says. You know, as Paul tells us, 1 Timothy 2, to be modest in your appearance, to wear decent and appropriate clothing, and not to draw attention to yourself by the way you fix your hair or wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. It's opposite. The world says, eat, drink, and be merry because this is all there is. So enjoy it while you're still alive. The world says, go ahead and buy that. You deserve it. Who cares how long it takes to pay off that debt? Luke 12, Jesus tells us an opposite story about a rich farmer who decided to build barns to store up all his crops so that he could have life and have it just easy for him. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? And Jesus says a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Opposites. Opposites. This leads to the first point. When we live to please the world but are still trying to be a believer in Jesus, we're going to experience friction between those two things. When we live to please the world, we will experience friction. God's ways and the world's ways, they're rarely the same thing. And the world's ways always have these unexpected consequences. And we need to develop new patterns that help us grow in our relationship with God. Things like reading the Bible, it's not a pattern of this world. But reading it connects us with God and his words and his ways. You know, prayer, that's not a pattern of this world. But it makes us more and more like Jesus as we talk to God and allow him into our lives. When these patterns are in our lives, we're destined to then feel the rub against the world's ways. It's going to be opposite. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, that's the key verse in this passage. And Paul reminds us that we must be self-aware. We must recognize how our internal life relates to and can control our external actions, our external choices. And so we fight the friction inside us by continually taking a sober assessment, by looking in, seeing what's going on inside of our hearts, inside of our emotions, and in our mind's thoughts. But to do that, you've got to do the work of wrestling with our hearts. And it takes a hard work of introspection. Pascal once said, all of man's problems stem from his inability to sit in a quiet room alone. All of man's problems, it stems from the inability for us to just sit in a room in silence. And how true that is. If you want to find out how uncomfortable silence is on your next road trip with your family, turn the radio off and make them all take their ears out and just be silent. It'll last maybe 30 seconds, and then it's how long before we're there, you know, right? Are we almost there yet? Comes up. You know, we struggle with silence. If you really wanted to find out, we could just say nothing in the service. We'd probably get about 15 seconds before we'd start to get antsy with why are we in silence here? It feels really awkward. I went to a church for a little while. It was a Four Corners church, and they did 2 to 3 minutes of silence in every service, and the first time they did that, it was a church of like 600 people. No one talking. Felt very, very uncomfortable. In fact, it took me probably, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months of going to that church before I felt like I could just use those 3 minutes to pray and then I could have noise in my head at least. You know, we struggle with silence and just taking the time to let our thoughts run so we can know what's going inside of us. All right, and so point one was that when we live to please the world, it's going to cause us to experience friction between the things of God. Point two is to take time, then, to know your soul. Take time. We live in a culture that's so overstimulated, constantly busy, constantly surrounded by noise. We're so preoccupied that we rarely take the time for our souls to really know what's going on inside of ourselves. To really know what thoughts are circling around in our minds. To really know the emotional baggage that we have that we just kind of carry around with us day to day. To really know what the wounds are in our hearts that haven't been healed yet. For many of us, our over-busyness, our overstimulation, and our preoccupation, they're really just strategies that we have allowed in our lives so that we don't have to do the hard work of being introspective. You know, while I was going to seminary at United Seminary, Theological Seminary down in Dayton, Ohio, you know, before COVID hit and all the classes went online, I would drive down to Dayton quite often to take those classes. And it's a 4-hour trip to go down there and 4 hours back. And I would drive all by myself, and all the way down, I would do my best to just kind of sit in silence and allow God to talk to me. And to just kind of hear his voice and experience what's going on in my life. And there was always this temptation to want to turn the radio on, to want to call somebody so that there wasn't this quietness, this silence. You know, we have to allow ourselves to be in God's presence for him to reveal to us what we need to work on to navigate the friction that's inside of us. In the Bible, we often see examples of how to live a life that's more focused on God. And sometimes it's a story that helps us. And sometimes it's what an author writes about what they've dealt with themselves. And we see this in Psalm 42. And the author is demonstrating this for us. It says, Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6. Why am I discouraged? Now, why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. I mean, I love this scripture passage because do you hear this author? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He's plumbing the depths of his heart because let's be honest, sometimes we get messed up deep inside, but we just don't understand why. And so we end up yelling at our kids, or we kick the family dog, or we fight with coworkers, or we just have this depression we're trying to work through, and we get overwhelmed, and we just don't know why. But sometimes, when we slow down, it can start to become apparent. And truthfully, after going through this pandemic and then just the social unrest that's been in our country and a constricting economy and racial disparity and the 24/7 news cycle of all that is bad in this world and toxic social media and this past presidential campaign, and you can go on and on of all the different things that could be contributing to this internal state that we have. But we'll never know until we get silent and allow ourselves to become aware. So when we live to please the world, we'll experience friction. So we need to take time to know our soul, and then the third point then is to let God tell you who you are. Because see, each of us, we all have all these multiple voices just constantly in our head telling us things about who we are. Some of these voices are helpful, but many of them are very harmful to us. You know, whether it's from school or their voices from the past or their voices from our work or our families or our culture, we are controlled by these voices way more than we realize. And what we need to do is to learn to discern the voice of God in our lives and listen to what He has to say to help guide us internally. And He has a very particular voice. You know, His voice is a voice of peace, love, kindness, and hope. But He's also a voice of direction that can cause us to wrestle with His will. This is a voice of faith, stretching us in ways we just rather He not stretch us. He's a voice of conviction, trying to keep us from experiencing negative consequences of poor choices and decisions. You know, some might say they've never heard God's voice. You know, that He doesn't speak to them. But the truth is, if we can learn to get to know ourselves inside, God is constantly speaking to us. We're just not taking the time to realize which thoughts in our mind are from Him and which thoughts are from ourself or from other places. And I've kind of discovered God's voice, it kind of has a different, I don't know, feel to it. It doesn't really feel, at least for me, like it's coming from my mind. It's coming instead from my heart. And one of a great way to get to know His voice clearly is to just get into the Bible. Any voice in our life that contradicts the Bible is not God's voice. So Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." It's not just some history book of dead words written many years ago. It is alive. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God. It can help us get introspective. If we're experiencing friction within ourselves, I would recommend turning down the negative voices that are around you and turning up the voice of God by diving into His Word. You know, Angie read these next verses at the beginning of the sermon, and I wanted those verses just kind of start us off, but I want to go back to them because these are a few of the things that God says about us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 again, "For you are God's masterpiece." Have you thought of yourself as a masterpiece? Because you are. The world will say the opposite of that. God says, "You're my masterpiece." He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that He planned for us long ago. 1 Peter 2:9. But you're not like that. You are a chosen people. You were chosen. You have been chosen by God. It's not an accident that any of us are here. You have been chosen. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you have show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wondrous light. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life, that's gone. A new life has begun. And then the last one, Romans 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, each one of these verses is a truth from God about who we really are if we're a follower of Jesus. If we're developing this relationship with God, let these truths ease the friction inside. You know, maybe you need to paste these or other verses in your car or in a mirror, in your wallet or on the background of your phone. And here's the reason this is so important. Our last point, number 4. What we believe impacts how we live. What we believe impacts how we live, and how we live then impacts who we become. What we believe impacts how we live, and how we live impacts who we become. This friction within us is key to becoming all that God wants us to be. Our dysfunction in our lives, it starts somewhere. And it often starts from being unaware of what we believe about ourselves and then acting out of those things that aren't true, but we believe them. And these beliefs then spill over into other areas in our lives. And so one way to think about this is if you were to look at the trajectory of your life and just think of the choices I'm making right now, who I am right now, if I continue on this path 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where am I going to end up? Am I going to be the person that God is calling me, that I know God wants me to be? Am I going in the right direction? Or perhaps, am I veering off? Am I going the wrong way? That trajectory doesn't look like what I would like it to be. Perhaps, if that's true, you need to begin with how you are thinking about yourself. So God wants us all to be aware of our internal life, the things that are triggering us to make poor choices. And then let Him transform us by renewing how our minds think and how our emotions impact our choices. If we can do that, this is a fact that will ease the friction. So may you experience freedom from friction in your families, in your marriage, in your finances, and within yourselves. And may you allow the Spirit of God to transform every area of your life, so that you then can honor Him in how you live. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, as we just take this moment to bow our heads, would you help us to take those blinders off and just see ourselves the way you see us? To see the stuff inside of us that churns away. The things that we're trying to ignore. The things that we've stuffed in the closets of our mind, of our hearts. The patterns that we know aren't healthy and taking us in ways that we don't want to go. That are allowing us to experience the consequences we never even thought were possible. So God, if there's anybody who you're dealing with right now that's wrestling inside, sensing God speak to their hearts, if that's you, would you just, as we're praying, would you just have a conversation with God? And maybe you just need to renew some patterns you had in the past that you just gotten away from. Maybe you just need to, in this moment, ask God for His forgiveness. And ask Jesus to come into your life and to give you that new life. So that you can begin following Him afresh. God, I pray if there's anyone like that, that they would do that just in this moment. Oh, to have the peace of God that abides in our hearts. To have the joy of the Lord that gives us the strength, because we're walking right in the center of God's will. God, you're so good to us. May we learn to think of ourselves the way you think of us. May we learn to be living sacrifices
but just live our life for you. What a challenge that is. But what joy there is for those who follow in that. And I pray this all in Jesus' name.